on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, that was Pull Up Tay on the intro, and we are back for another episode of the Auto Bid. It is March, it is the month of madness, and today we got a special March Madness episode just for you guys. We're gonna go through the bracket today. We have real games going on today, not playing games. We have real first round games going on in the NCAA tournament, so it's only right that me and Drew go through our bracket, give you our picks. You know, this being a mid-major podcast, you know, we're going to give you a lot of upsets, man. We're going to talk about, you know, a lot of the little guys, get you guys ready for this tournament that is set to be pandemonium. So, Drew, man, how you feeling, man?
Feeling great. You know, last night's games were amazing. You know, all four of those games were closely contested. Two of those games were decided by 1 point. And then the last one, you know, UCLA, Michigan State ended up going in overtime, man. So, I think that really, you know, set the tone for the rest of the tournament. It's going to be some amazing games, and I'm looking forward to today's action.
For sure, man. So we can go ahead and get right into it, man. I mean, obviously every year there are a bunch of upsets in March. So I want you to give me your three upsets that are most likely to happen. You don't got to be mid-major. I know you know, like a few of the other teams, you know, but give me your three upsets that are most likely to happen in your bracket.
For sure, man. I think first one I got to mention, I think, is going to be Ohio over Virginia. It's a 13-4. And I think that the thing that is making this upset most attractive is the fact that Virginia obviously had that COVID pause in the ACC tournament. And as we know, man, when it comes to these COVID pauses, those can be brutal for teams. You know, I believe they didn't get to Indy until, I believe, like Thursday, I want to say. They didn't get to Indy, and then I think they have like a practice or two, and then I think they're slated to play on Saturday, I want to say.
They got to Indy Friday. They're playing Saturday, and they're going to have a practice Saturday morning.
Yeah, so I mean, you get there Friday, you play the next day. I mean, that's tough. That's tough to deal with for a team in Ohio who's coming off a conference tournament championship. They have a guy in Jason Pressman who, you know, is a star in and of itself. So I just don't like Virginia's chances coming in and playing against Ohio. So that's the first one I have circled on my list. The second upset that I have is going to be UC Santa Barbara over Creighton. And I think for me, this one was just kind of a recency bias thing. The last time I saw Creighton, they're getting smacked by 30 points in the Big East Championship by Georgetown. I just didn't like the way that they looked. I think UC Santa Barbara is playing great, great, great basketball right now. I mean, they've won 18 out of the last 19 games. The company, obviously, they won the conference tournament to get into the big dance. And I think that they're the better team. I think that they're going to beat Creighton and move on to the next round. And then the last upset that I have is not a mid-major upset, but, you know, speaking of that Creighton team that I believe is going to lose to UC Santa Barbara, the team who beat them in that Big East Championship by 30 points is another upset that I am picking, and that's the Georgetown Hoyas. I have them beating Colorado. I think that the Hoyas are playing their best basketball of the year right now. I think that, you know, they're defending and they're playing with a lot of confidence. You know, they're pretty much playing with house money. You know, they weren't supposed to be in the NCAA tournament. They were nowhere near getting an at-large bid. The only way in was to win the Big East tournament. They go in, they win four games in a row. And I think they're just playing with a lot of confidence, man. And I think it's dangerous when you have an underseeded team like Georgetown playing with house money, knowing they had nothing to lose. So, and again, man, last time we saw Colorado, they lost in that Pac-12 title game to Oregon State. So I think that Georgetown is just playing better basketball right now. So those are my three upsets that I'm picking.
For sure, man. You know, I'm not mad at your picks. You know, I love UCSB over Creighton. I love Ohio over Virginia for the reasons that you mentioned, especially with Creighton's not playing well right now. Head coach, you know, obviously everything's going on with him with the racial slurs, or not racial slurs, but with the words that he used after his game and being suspended and all that nonsense. And then obviously the COVID pause. And then just, you know, not playing well coming into the tournament, you know, having gotten drubbed in the Big East final. And then with Virginia, that COVID paused me, man. And then obviously going up against Jason Preston, Ohio, it does not help it at all. You know, Jason Preston, for those who don't know, we talked about him on this podcast. He's an NBA player. You guys are going to get introduced to him in this tournament. So make sure you guys stay tuned to those games. And then, you know, I don't think Georgetown is being Colorado, but hey, you know, I'll let you, you know, live with that one. My upsets are going to be these three. I'm going to take North Texas over Purdue. That's a 13-4 right there. I really like this North Texas team. They have size. They're athletic. They're out of Conference USA. They beat Western Kentucky in the Conference USA final. And one thing that we know, for a lot of these mid-major schools that it takes to win in March, you have to be old, man. And four of these guys' top five scorers are seniors. The fifth one that's not a senior is a junior. So they're old, man. We know old wins in college basketball, man. Javion Hamlin is a star. He's averaging about 15, 5 assists and about 4 rebounds a game. They have four guys that average double figures, so they can, you know, they can put up points. Like I said, they have some size, and they're an old team, man. And we know, you know, with these, a lot of these Cinderella teams we've seen in the past, you know, you need seniors. You need guys that are old, that have been there, that have done that in college basketball. So I think that's a 13-4 that I personally like. Purdue is very good, but I just think, you know, when you look at this bracket, I think there are a few teams that match up really well with the teams that they're playing, and I think North Texas is one of those teams. So I'm going to go with North Texas over Purdue. The second one I'm going to go, I'm not too sure about this one, you know, but I'm going to pick a 15-2 here, and I'm going to go Cleveland State over Houston. Now, this is more to do with Cleveland State. I mean, this is more to do with Houston than it has to do with Cleveland State. Obviously, Kelvin Sampson is an amazing coach, but Cleveland State has a great coach as well, and Dennis Gates. He's a star in year two, completely turned that Cleveland State program around. But with Houston, man, obviously, you know, you got Quentin Grimes, really, really good. You've got Jarreau. Both of those guys can score, but, you know, I just think this Houston team is really inconsistent. They haven't really played that many great teams this year, obviously coming out of the American Conference. Obviously, they had lost to Wichita. They had a really bad loss to ECU late in the season as well. And, you know, I just don't know which Houston team is going to show up in the NCAA tournament, man. They're a extremely talented team. When they're great, they're really great. They're a great defensive team. But offensively, sometimes I just don't know where their points are going to come from outside of, you know, Jarreau and Quentin Grimes, man. They're a team that, you know, crashed the glass, and they defend really well. But, you know, are they going to be able to put up enough points is the biggest question that I have with them. And like I said, Cleveland State is a team out of the Horizon League. They've been playing extremely well all year. I don't know if that matchup was necessarily likely to happen, but, you know, hey, I'm picking some upsets this March because the coronavirus has caused pandemonium all year. Conference tournaments have been crazy all year. So I think I'm going to go with a 15-2 this year, you know, and pick Cleveland State to beat Houston in that one. And the last one that I'm going to go with is one that me and you have talked at length with this week, Drew. And I'm taking Liberty over Oklahoma State. We've had Darius McGee on our podcast, you know, Liberty Flames, best player, the A-Sun player of the year. Another team, man, they're old, they're experienced, and that program has pedigree, man. Obviously, the last time we had an NCAA tournament, Liberty was able to beat – they were in a 13-4 game, and they were able to beat Mississippi State in that tournament in 2019. You know, they've already beaten two SEC teams this year. They've beaten South Carolina and Mississippi State this year. They're playing Oklahoma State, who was a star on Cade Cunningham. Avery Adams has played well, but those two are really the only two on that team when you're talking about, you know, offense. And Avery Anderson, has played well as of late. But I just don't know. Liberty plays that pack line defense, you know, similar to what Virginia played. Obviously, Coach Richie McKay came from Virginia, from that staff under Tony Bennett. And Liberty plays a similar pack line defense where they don't really allow you to get downhill, don't really allow you to get in the paint. And I think the pedigree, of Liberty and the way that they defend will cause some problems for Oklahoma State. And I think Liberty's going to beat Oklahoma State, man, in that 13-4 game. So those are the three upsets that I find most likely to happen in this first round. So those are the ones that I'm going with.
Okay, I mean, yeah, I think you completely lost your marbles with that, with that Liberty over Oklahoma State one. I love Liberty. They've had a great season. I was a shout out to my guy, Darius McGee, man, you know. absolutely no disrespect. You know, I'm not taking them though to beat Oklahoma State. I think that Cade Cunningham is going to carry this Oklahoma State team all the way to the Sweet 16. So I think you pretty much pencil them in, and definitely in that first round matchup over Liberty. I think he's going to be too much for those guys to handle. So, you know, but we'll see. I also like Oklahoma State over Tennessee in that next round. But, you know, I think there's something to be said about having that star power in Cade Cunningham around this time of year, you know. But we kind of mentioned this a little bit thus far, but in 2019, the 2019 tournament 2 years ago, we saw three 12 seeds advance over the 5 seed. So give me two upsets that you think are most likely to happen in that 12-5.
Yeah, but you mentioned one of them, and that's UC Santa Barbara over Creighton. I think that's the perfect storm for UC Santa Barbara. I think, you know, obviously they're a really, really good team. And Linden with, you know, high major transfers on that roster, so they're not gonna be intimidated by Creighton at all. And obviously, like you said, Creighton's not really playing well right now. Also, you know, obviously Santa Barbara, you know, got three guys. They're averaging double figures, man. Obviously led by Ja'Cory McLaughlin, you know, who's averaging about 16 points and 5 assists, averaging shooting almost 50% from the floor. You know, I mean, those guys are loaded. And I'm gonna pick that as the one. Obviously, he started his career at Oregon State, and now is obviously at UT Santa Barbara. So he's a high major player. Like I said, he's not gonna be intimidated. Neither are the guys on his team. And obviously, Creighton's not playing well. I think that's one that I would go with. And the second one that I like, I'm going to go with Winthrop over Nova. I think this is a game. This is a game that, you know, obviously we know your pedigree that Villanova has. Obviously, they've won two national titles in the last 4 years, really the last three tournaments, because we didn't have a tournament last year. But Winthrop is a team that are 23-1. They've only lost one game all year. Obviously, they're out of the Big South. They haven't really played, you know, anybody this year. Obviously, their most impressive win, in my opinion, would probably be, you know, that drubbing of Furman. It'd be Furman 87-71. You know how much I loved Furman all year. Surprised that they didn't end up coming out of the SoCon. They also beat UNCG, who ended up winning the SoCon, beat UNCG 75-67. You know, so they did have two, you know, pretty good wins earlier on in the year. But, you know, obviously their team, you know, can score a bunch of points in a hurry. Chandler Vogel is a star. People are gonna find out a lot about him in his first round of the matchup when they play Villanova. You know, he's averaging about 12 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds. He's about 6'7", one steal a game. You know, he's a guy that can cause some mismatch problems. He can post up, he can shoot it, he can put it on the floor, and he can pass. Then you have Adonis Arms. And then there were teams that's old, man. Like I said a little bit earlier with North Texas, they're an old team, man. Three of their top four scorers are juniors and seniors. So they're going to have some guys that are not scared of the moment, man. They're old. They've won. They obviously won the Big South last year and didn't get to play in the tournament, so they're playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. So I'm going to go with Winthrop over Nova in that 12-5 matchup. Obviously, Villanova is a great team. But I think these are the two that are most likely to happen. I don't think Georgetown is going to beat Colorado, and I don't think Oregon State is beating Tennessee. So those are the other 12-5s. Obviously, both Georgetown and Oregon State were teams that kind of, you know, I think got a little lucky, man. You know, in a COVID year, no fans, you got a good draw in the conference tournament. You know, they're here in the Marshall, not taking anything away from them, but I don't think that they're going any further than this first round. So I'm going Winthrop over Nova, and I'm going with UC Santa Barbara over Creighton.
Well, I'm glad, because Georgetown is going to prove you wrong. They're going to advance in this tournament. They're going to show you why they're the Big East champions and why they didn't have a lucky draw. They just overcame the team who was in front of them, and they're going to overcome Colorado in this first round. I'm calling it now. And don't be surprised if they make it all the way to the Sweet 16, man. I will say that when it comes to this Winthrop and Nova matchup, I think that I like Winthrop, and they're a great team. And I would pick that. I think it's trendy to pick them because Villanova didn't have Colin Gillespie, and it's like, oh, 12-5. The only thing that's hindering them, man, I think, is that Villanova, we talk about their wing players, and you talk about obviously Chandler Valjean being, you know, there for Winthrop. I mean, I think Jermaine Samuels is a guy that can provide a lot of problems for Valjean because he's athletic, he has great length, he's strong, he can move. Villanova switches, and I think – at the end of the day, Villanova still has the Big East Player of the Year on their roster in Jeremiah Robinson Earl, who's another guy who can do it from inside and out, can shoot the three, can kill you on the inside, can rebound, can do a lot of things. So I think he's a guy that can you know, kind of have some, you know, give Winthrop some problems. So I think it's a trendy pick, but I wouldn't count out Villanova right now, because obviously we know that the pedigree that they have in March. But that's why they play the games. I guess we would have to see. But a 13 seed has defeated a number 4 seed in 25 of 35 total brackets. If one is to happen, which one would it be?
See, this is one, you know, obviously we talked about both of these teams earlier. So, you know, the one that I'm going to go with I'll give you one, because I'm sure you're probably talking about the other one. So I'll go North Texas over Purdue. Like I said, I talked about them earlier, out of Conference USA a little bit. Like I said, man, they're an old team. I like their matchup, man. Purdue's a team that I watched all year in the Big Ten, and they, like I said, they're a good team, but something about them, I just don't really buy it, man. I mean, I know obviously they came in fourth place in the Big Ten, but obviously they're not better than Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, or Ohio State. They're a team that, you know, has some size there. They've always got some bigs down there that can give you some issues, man. But like I said, North Texas has size, man. Travion Williams, I think he's a great player, but I just really like the way that North Texas has been playing. Like I said, they're an old team, man. And something about this Purdue team, I just don't trust, man. So I think the one I'm going to go with is North Texas over Purdue.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think the second one I assumed you were going to talk about will probably be the Ohio over Virginia one. You know, we talked about that one earlier. So I think that, like I said, you know, with the COVID pauses that Virginia has gone through, and then with Jason Preston in Ohio, I think that is another 13-4 upset that you can – almost pretty much book.
Yeah, not for sure. I mean, I really like Ohio. Obviously, they got 5 guys scoring in double figures. They can put up points in a hurry. They're gonna be a fun team, man. I think. You know, leaning into my next question, they're a team that has a chance to really advance in this tournament, man. So, without further ado, man, there's been at least one double-digit seed that has advanced to the Sweet 16 in each of the last 12 years. So, who this year is most likely to do so?
Yeah, man, I think when it comes to the Sweet 16, I'm going to have to go back to UC Santa Barbara. I think that part of this is because of their talent, and I think another part of it is their draw. When you look at the bracket that they're in, you know, we both have Ohio upsetting Virginia, and then most of us have UC Santa Barbara upsetting Creighton, which would mean that they're going to see each other in the second round. So, you know, by default, you know, you have two mid-majors, two WGCs in Ohio, the UC Santa Barbara. And I think when it comes to obviously either of those teams, you know, obviously one of those two has to advance. You know, Jason, I think you can make a case for either team. The only reason why I think I would go with Santa Barbara is because I think that when you look at how well they've been playing as of late, like I mentioned, they had a 13 game winning streak earlier in the season. You know, dropped one game, and then, you know, they obviously finished strong, won a conference tournament. They've won 18 out of their last 19 games. You know, they're hot. They're playing the best basketball of the year right now. And I think that bodes well, man, you know, in this NCAA tournament. So I think that I would have to go with UC Santa Barbara. But I think Ohio obviously has a great chance as well, you know, with Jason Preston.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would go with Ohio if I had to pick one. But, you know, obviously Ohio with that draw, you know, first round UVA, second round, probably going to be UC Santa Barbara or Creighton. And I like their chances over both of those, you know, teams. And obviously, yeah, they might have the best player on the floor in all those games in Jason Preston. I mean, obviously, I think Marcus Zagorowski would have something to say about that if they were to see Creighton in that second round. But, I mean, other than that, man, I think Jason Preston is one of the best players in this tournament, man. So I think he's going to have a lot to say about that. Another underrated team that they could make a run, I talked about them, is North Texas, man. I mean, obviously they're going to play Purdue, and then they're going to get either Winthrop or Nova in that next round. So I think North Texas has a great shot just because of their draw. You know, I think, you know, a lot of times in March, it's not necessarily about how good of a team you are. You know, it's just what's your seed and what's your draw? You know, you look at a team like St. Bonnie's, who won the A-10. They're playing LSU their first game in an 8-9 game, you know, and then they're going to get a 1 seed in probably Michigan the next game. So, you know, their draw is just brutal. But I think their team, if they had gotten a better draw, yeah, they probably could have gotten to the Sweet 16. But I think it's just going to be tough sledding for them. You know, just because of the, just simply because you know they're a good team and the committee respected them and they gave them a good seed. So similarly, I'm gonna give some love to our Quinnipiac women's basketball program. After our sophomore year at Quinnipiac, they were able to make it to the Sweet 16. The next year, they got a 9 seed. You know, and they won their first game again, and then you were met by the UConn Huskies. So that's where that ended for them. But you know, talented team, they probably could have went to another Sweet 16, maybe even an Elite Eight. But that the draw means a lot in March. I think because of North Texas's draw, potentially seeing Purdue and then either Winthrop or a hobbled Villanova team, you know, then I think they could potentially make a Sweet 16. So, you know, I'm gonna go with North Texas on this one, man.
For sure, I think that's actually a perfect segue into our last question, which is, you know, which mid-major team do we think is most likely to reach a Final Four? And I mean, I had North Texas, you know, for my pick in that one. Again, I think it's really just because of the draw that they received. If you look at their path, you know, they're going to see Purdue. You know, a lot of them picked them, obviously picking them to beat Purdue. Then they would see either Winthrop or Villanova. You know, so let's say Winthrop pulls the upset off, I think North Texas would advance there. Even if Villanova won, I think North Texas is a team that could present a problem for Villanova, like we mentioned, just because they're an older team. Me personally, I actually have Baylor getting upset by Wisconsin. So, I mean, I think that North Texas could end up seeing Wisconsin in the Sweet 16. Or even if they do see a Baylor team in that Sweet 16, Baylor is obviously a team that hasn't really been playing great off of COVID pause, that they just lost in the Big 12 tournament to Oklahoma State. The first game off of COVID pause, they almost lost to Iowa State. I think they haven't been the same team after that pause. So I think that they could advance, you know, past Baylor. Then they see Arkansas team who – Arkansas or Ohio State, you know, who, you know, I think – depending on what team you get that at, Arkansas isn't really a great defensive team. You know, they put up a lot of points, you know, but I don't think that they're a team that North Texas cannot beat. That will be the Elite Eight matchup, and then, boom, you're in the Final Four. You know, so I think that their path is favorable. You're not seeing – they're not the meet Gonzaga. They're not seeing Illinois. I think a lot of the teams that they might see are teams that are very, you know I think it's a high chance that some of these teams get upset. I think it's a high chance that Baylor could lose to Wisconsin, and they might have, you know, they could see Wisconsin, which is a much more favorable matchup. If they get past Purdue, it's a chance that Villanova could get upset. You know, that's another team that you might not have to deal with. And then, depending on what happens on the other side of the bracket, you know, we'll see. Even a team like Virginia Tech, right? Like Virginia Tech is a team that they're very methodical, right? They pass the ball around a lot. They defend. So, like, I don't think anybody would be surprised if they pulled off an upset and beat Ohio State, right? So then imagine if they can advance and maybe North Texas meets Virginia Tech. You know, like, that's a game North Texas can absolutely win, you know. So I think that they are a team that can make a Final Four run, and I'll let you give us another major that can make a Final Four run.
Yeah, man, my pick is going to be San Diego State. And we talked a lot about them, you know, this year on this podcast, man. I said they are an elite defensive team, man. I mean, the way that these guys defend, they're 10th right now in the country in defensive efficiency per KenPom. And they're giving up about 89 points per 100 possessions. So that's not per game. That's per 100 possessions. So every 100 possessions, they're giving up about 89 points, which is good for about 10th in the country, man. And obviously, you know, they won the Mountain West regular season and conference tournament championship, man. And they're really good, man. I love, you know, Matt Mitchell. You know, the team that can also, you know, sometimes they struggle to shoot, but when they make shots, man, they are extremely, extremely hard to beat because defense, as we know, travels. And this team is one, you know, that is going to pose some problems for teams. If they can make shots, man, a big part of it is going to be Terrell Gomez. You need to just 5'8", you know, senior guard. But he has an absolute clip. This year he's shooting 41%, excuse me, from the three-point line this season, man. So elite shooter. Then a part of it is their draw as well, man. They're going to see Syracuse in the first round. I think Syracuse is a team, you know, with that 2-3 zone that could impose some – that could you know, give them some problems, man. But then you'd see best-case scenario, you know, barring any upset, you'd see West Virginia, Houston, and then Illinois. Obviously, Houston is a team that, like I said, sometimes they struggle to score. So that's going to be absolute rock fight. Two great defensive teams. First to 50 in that one would probably win. But, you know, if Houston gets upset by Cleveland State or, you know, they chip up along the way, then you don't know who you're going to see. Then, obviously, Illinois, would be tough for them. But I think, you know, because of the way that they defend, you know, they have some size down low. So I think they'd be able to neutralize Kofi Coburn. Obviously, you're not going to stop him, but, you know, just neutralize him to the point that he's not wreaking havoc like he does on all these other teams. You know, obviously, they got, you know, Joshua Tomiak. You know, he's the guy that was at Maryland. And obviously, they don't have any size this year, but now he's at San Diego State anchoring their defense. You know, 6'9", 230-pound senior man. San Diego State, like I said, you know, I think they'd be able to match up pretty well with Illinois because of the way that they defend. So I think that San Diego State, because of their draw, is going to be a team that could potentially, you know, make it run into the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, man. See, you know, Terrell Gomez, he was a kid that was at Cal State Northridge, man, and, you know, grad transfer over San Diego State. He was getting 20 points per game the last 2 years at Cal State Northridge. You know, so I'm glad to see, you know, back. You know, shooting the ball really well. I think he definitely is going to be an X factor for San Diego State. He's only averaging about 9 points per game this year, you know, down from 20. But I think he's a guy that can get hot quick, you know, and can put up a lot of points quick. He's an older guy. So I think that, you know, San Diego State definitely is a trendy pick, you know, to make a run, man. You know, I don't know if we'll see him in major at the final, but hopefully we do. But I think that's definitely a great pick, man. I want to give another upset that we didn't really talk about, and that is going to be Eastern Washington over Kansas in a 14-3. I don't think we've mentioned any 14-3 upsets thus far, but I'm not going to pencil that one in by any means, just because, you know, Kansas is, you know, they're a great team. But obviously, they're without Jalen Wilson. He's not going to play in this first round due to COVID protocols. Obviously, we know Kansas had to bow out of the Big 12 tournament. Similar to Virginia. So another team, man, these COVID issues are mean, you know. So when you have players who have to sit out and, you know, they've obviously had a late arrival to the tournament as well, I think that Eastern Washington is a team that could potentially take advantage of that, man. And, you know, I think if it's going to be another one of those situations where it's like, all right, you know, if Eastern Washington beats Kansas, then let's say maybe, you know, Drake beats USC, which is very possible, then you could have Drake or Eastern Washington advancing there to the Sweet 16, where they could potentially see Iowa. You know, and Iowa is a team that is a great team. You know, don't get me wrong. They obviously know Luke Garza is going to be National Player of the Year this year. You know, but, you know, Drake over Iowa, I don't think that's too surprising. You know, even Eastern Washington over Iowa, I don't know. Or maybe even if Oregon beats Iowa, like, I think that those are that's another team, you know, in Drake. Obviously, we know that they've dealt with some injuries, but, you know, they were able to come back last night after trailing Wichita State for the majority of that game. I think that they're a team that could make a deep run in the tournament. Obviously, we know that they got their best player back in the lineup, even though he's still recovering. He's not really himself. You know, once you get a win, man, I mean, you can kind of get rolling. Obviously, they're one of the last undefeated teams this year, so let's not write them off just yet. And Eastern Washington, too, you know, just keep your eye on those two teams, Eastern Washington and Drake, because I think if Eastern Washington can get past Kansas, then they could also have a chance to make a run in this tournament.
No, for sure, man. Eastern Washington is a team that I was eyeing that Eastern Washington Kansas game as well, and I ended up taking it. You know, I was like, you know what, COVID, you know, not having Jalen Wilson for Kansas, and Eastern Washington is a team that can put up points in a hurry. They got five guys that are averaging double figures. They shoot the ball extremely well, so I think that their team, you know, when you shoot the ball well, and then when you have some seniors, some old guys, you know, they shoot as a team, they're shooting 35%. From the three-point line, you know, but in their top five, they got three guys that are shooting 36, 38, and 38% from three. So, you know, they got some guys that can make shots, and they're old. So, I mean, obviously, and then with a shorthanded Kansas team, man, you know, I do like that pick, man. I feel bad we didn't even talk about Drake, man. I've said this about Drake all year. I don't know how they win games, but they always find a way to win, man. I mean, they trailed that game last night for about 35 minutes. And then they ended up in the lead. You know, somehow, under four timeout, they're up one. You're like, oh, here we go. They're doing it again. And it's a team, like I said, man, they simply find ways to win. And I would not be surprised in the slightest bit if they beat USC and get to the round of 32, man. I definitely think that is more than plausible for them to do, man. So, I'm excited, man. This tournament is going to be madness. The season was madness. The conference tournaments were madness all across the mid-major landscape. And the NCAA tournament is going to be no different. Like you said last night, all those games were absolutely amazing. And I hope that today the games can live up to that standard, man. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to hope you guys get out, you know, kick your feet up, get your chips and dip, you know, and sit up on the couch, you know, and watch the great games this weekend, man. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, first and second round action, man. So I'm excited, man.
For sure, man. It's the best time of the year. The NCAA tournament, you know, is always, you know, one of the best times. Obviously, I think we really get to appreciate it this time around because of COVID last year, not having an NCAA tournament, really not having any sports at all around this time last year. There was no NBA going on, no NCAA tournament. It was nothing at all. So just to have sports this year, this time around, man, obviously NBA is back. NCAA is back. You know, baseball's getting ready to start up soon. I mean, we're in a great time period, man. So make sure you guys are, you know, getting comfortable, man. Streaming this episode. Get your picks in. You know, get your trending picks in. If you haven't gotten your bracket in, make sure you do that. Make sure you're liking, subscribing, sharing this podcast. If you got any friends, man, that are looking for some picks, make sure you get this podcast to them. Share it. And then you'll be able to say, you know, I told you so. You know, if you hear this podcast, you get some picks, you'll be able to say, I told you so to the folks, make you feel smart around this NCAA tournament time.
For sure, man. So that's going to do it for another episode of the Auto Bid. As always, we're going to let my guy Pull Up Tay take us out with some music. Make sure you guys watch them games, man. And we'll have another episode of the Auto Bid next week. Until then, that's all, folks.
Take your best shot. I'm going to take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. On me,
I can tell.
It's time to get a check, boy.
Check, boy.
You want a sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me.
I can tell.
What's the topic of discussion?
What we talking about?
Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.
Yeah. I don't bet. Let's go. What's the topic of discussion?